Steve Wynn is an alternative rock veteran who founded his much-revered band Dream Syndicate in Los Angeles in 1981, and he's never stopped rocking. The emphasis is on the performances today on The Cafe as Steve Wynn and the Miracle 3 take the stage at World Cafe Live for a set of new songs from Tick, 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 the new disc, plus a classic going all the way back to Days of Wine and Roses, Dream Syndicate's first. Back then, it seemed that Steve Wynn couldn't escape comparisons to the Velvet Underground. So in starting off our conversation, I asked him how he felt about that today.
When I started off with the Dream Syndicate 25 years ago, we made Days of Wine and Roses, everything we'd hear, I mean, we would go on stage and play a set that just tore our guts inside out and gave everything we had and some excitement, come off sweating and excited, and people say, well, it's a little bit like the Velvet Underground, isn't it? It's like, oh, man. No matter, you know, when you have that feeling, especially when you're young, you're just trying to establish your identity, when people compare you to the same thing all the time, it's frustrating. At this point, they're one of the bands I love. I love a lot of things, whether Neil Young or Bob Dylan or a lot of bands around right now, all kinds of stuff. That's one of the bands I like. When people say they remind me of the Velvets, I say, thank goodness it doesn't remind you of something I hate.
Well, you know, you're being a little bit modest, because people do say, talk about things reminding them of the Dream Syndicate. So that's very positive. That band has all been incredibly influential over the years, and as it continues to be with what you do. We're going to start off with a tune today that I absolutely love, that you didn't write the lyrics for, a song called Cindy. And George Pelicanos, people who may follow the television show The Wire or have read any of his sort of Washington, D.C. and Baltimore-based crime novels may know him. How did you hook up with him?
I was I'm a big fan of crime fiction, of noir.
We talked to James Ellroy last time you were
here. That's right. I mean, I love James Ellroy and James Cain and Raymond Chandler, the whole gamut of that style. And a friend told me, I don't know, half dozen years ago, he told me that some guy's writing these books, these crime fiction books, great books, and he has the Dream Syndicate, or you, in all the books. That's crazy. So, you know, being a somewhat vain person, I had to come pick one up and read them, and I flipped. It's a style that's so easy, a style of writing that's so easy to do in your sleep, and that's the problem with a lot of writers. But George adds so much soul and feeling and so much, you know, his own way of doing things. And the great thing about George's books, like we were talking about earlier, is that he uses music so well in his books. And so we became friends. I got a hold of him through mutual friends. He did the bio for Here Come the Miracles. He'd come to my shows in D.C. and Baltimore. I started to see him around. And a few years back, I said, George, you love music. You're a great writer. Let's write a song together. He said, I can't do it. I've never written a song. I said, look, just write something down, send it to me, and we'll see what happens. So he sent me the lyrics to Cindy Was Always You, with this completely, you know, very humble letter saying, look, you know, my stuff's not gold. Do what you want with it. And I didn't need to change a thing. He really had it. The song's great. And you'll hear the song, the lyrics are pretty creepy, pretty stalker-like. They're a little bit uncomfortable, and it's always easier to do that when it's somebody else's words. I think if I wrote this song, I'd feel differently about it. But, man, as people say, that song's a little disturbing. I said, not my lyrics.
Well, Cindy, wherever you are, this is for you.
It's dark on the street tonight. It's dark in my room. I've been thinking about you again. It happens after one or two. You know I had that girl Leona first. She was your best friend. Since I saw you in that bar, it's you I had to have in my bed. All right, Cindy, it was always you. It was you I wanted to. Girl, you leave me haunted. There was a time I had Leona. I was giving her my best. It was you I blew up into. It was her I. I used to be afraid when the lights went out, but now I'm welcome when I can see. Wherever you go, I know I'll be there too. I'll have you eventually. Here we go. me haunted. It's dark in my room. I've been thinking about you again. It happens after one or two. You know I had that girl you're my first. She was your best friend. Since I saw you in that bar, it was you I had to have. Oh, yeah. Cindy, it was always you. It was you I wanted to. Now you leave me haunted. Girl, you leave me haunted. Now you leave me haunted. Now you leave me haunted. Cindy, it was always you. Cindy, it was always you. Cindy, it was always you. Cindy, it was always you.
Steve Wynn and the Miracle Three on stage at World Cafe Live with Cindy, and as we mentioned, lyrics from George Pelicanos. Now, what does that do to you when you get those lyrics? Does it make you step up in what you're going to do, you know, in writing the song? Do you make, oh, God, I got to really do this justice? Or
yeah, I mean, well, pretty much. I mean, I think because I like George so much and I'm a fan of his, and he's helped me out with a few different things over the years, the main thing I always think is I want to write a song that he'll be really proud of. I think, and I wrote the song probably a few years before we made this record and did a home demo of it. And I was just thrilled to sit on my home demo. Like, there you go, George. You're not a songwriter.
Yeah, right.
And the great thing is he liked it.
That's cool.
He would have written back to me and said, well, to be honest, I wasn't hearing that kind of a song. That's really horrible. Might have felt bad, but he liked it then. That's the best reviews I've heard on the song.
Steve Wynn is our guest, and that song is on Tick, 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 the new album. There's some great songs on here, some great writing. And you mentioned that one being an older song. I've always thought you were incredibly prolific. Do you feel that way to yourself? Do you feel like you're – do you have a bunch of things you haven't recorded? Do you save things up, or are you a project writer?
I just write when I need to. I'm a fan of the Brill Building and that old style thing where people in my fantasy land – people come to me and want songs 10 times a day and I got to crank them out. I like writing for assignment and writing for deadlines or writing for specific things. But, you know, I write all the time. And it's funny because what you're saying now about prolific, I've made a bunch of records and I keep recording and touring. It's what I like doing. But I look at, when I was growing up, listening to the people I love, whether it's, yes, I said Neil Young before, but anybody like that, they were making three records a year. Three incredible records a year and touring all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know what the, you know, I don't,
yeah, so I guess it isn't that big a thing, but on the other hand, the quality's there.
Yeah, the Beatles made all the records in 6 years. I mean, it's not so. If I put out a record every 18 months, that seems like I'm being lazy, like I'm a slacker.
Yeah, it's funny, Johnny Cash. I think every 3 months he put out a record or something.
Right.
Well, tell me about the song "The Deep End." I love this one. I love this song.
It's a song I wrote with Linda Pittman, my drummer, and we had actually went to Spain a couple years ago in the summer for a working vacation. We have a friend down there in Andalusia who, name is Paco Loco, not the real name, I don't think. And he has a studio down there. And he said, why don't you come out and have a vacation at our place? Maybe we'll record a couple songs. And we ended up writing a complete album out there that hasn't come out yet. But Deep End was a song we wrote together there. I gotta, you know, paint a picture of the life. This is a slow, easy summertime Spanish life. We went a week. We didn't put on shoes. I think finally shoes came on to go to a restaurant one night. I was kind of shocked to have something on my feet. It was that kind of a. So that song was written at noon on a very lazy, woozy, easy kind of morning, and it feels that way. Whenever I hear that song, I can feel what it was like.
Was there a pool involved? Was there a pool involved?
You got it.
Okay.
You're seeing the same picture I have in my head.
This is the deep end.
Thank you. the deep end. The deep end.
And that is The Deep End live on stage at World Cafe Live. Steve Wynn and The Miracle 3, another one from Tick, Tick, Tick. We may have talked about this before. I know we talked about your wanting to be a sports writer. But you actually started doing music early on and then kind of gave it up?
Exactly. That's what happened. I played my first band when I was 9 years old. And I loved music from the very beginning. I played a band called The Lightbulbs. And The Lightbulbs had me on guitar, had a drummer and five singers, because, you know, you're 9 years old, people don't play very much, and we would play long versions of Hey Jude and stuff like that. But from that point on, for 4 years after that, from age 9 to 13, you know, before I retired when I was 13, I played in a lot of bands, doing originals, doing covers, stuff like that. And I really, that's what I wanted to do, I guess. And, you know, this is, I'm 45, and this was, when I was 13, it was 1973. There weren't a lot of ways at age 13 you could be in what would now be an indie band. You really had to be either Yes or ELP and playing the Enormo Dome or kind of give it up. So I figured there's nothing out there for me. I became a sports writer for a few years and enjoyed that. Punk rock saved my soul.
And how did you come back to it?
Well, you know, I mean, I really was excited about being a sports writer. It's something I enjoyed a lot. But when I tell you, when 1977 happened, it was my first year of college, went away up to University of California, Davis. I was up there and started hearing things like the Ramones and the Sex Pistols and the Clash and Elvis Costello. It blew my mind. And I went, this is it. This is, you can make music just because you're excited and passionate and have something to say and got to get it out. And that's enough. And that was it. Never looked back.
Well, it's interesting that the bands for you that do that are people like The Clash. And there are people who have this whole nostalgic thing about Dream Syndicate, too, as well, in that period of time, too. So it's kind of cool to be on both ends of that.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I know what it's like to be a fan of a band and have them just completely turn you around and make you want to play music. So when people say that to me, it's the best compliment I can get.
I tell you, Days of Wine and Roses holds up as one of the great debut albums. How does it sit for you? What are your memories of that time in general? Positive? Or can you tell me that in a couple sentences?
Really very positive. It was a very exciting time. And the nice thing is when I hear that record now, I'm still proud of it. I really like the record. It's been kind of a benchmark for me for the whole time, what a record people refer to and like and want to hear. And fortunately, I like it as well.
That's good, because there's some people who get in that position where it's not.
Oh, yeah. We play Days of Wine and Roses, you know, and when I play that song now, I still feel the same excitement when I wrote it 25 years ago.
And I have to tell you, it fits in seamlessly with what you're doing. It's Steve Wynn, so as well it should be.
It feels, you know, when I play with this band now, I feel the same kind of, you know, hopefully you get better at what you do and you find new ways of doing it and get more comfortable in a lot of ways. But it's coming from the same place as when I was 20. It's this kind of music that's just turning yourself inside out and seeing what happens.
Steve Wynn, eternally 20. let's listen to this. Boy, this just sounds as fresh as ever. This is Days of Wine and Roses, title track of the Dream Syndicate's first album.
Said the word from outside is she's on the ledge again, drawing a crowd and threatening everything. I'm here wondering just where I fit in. Everybody says I don't care, I don't care. Everybody says I don't care, nah, 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 nah. I'm just trying to remember the days of wine and roses. Everybody says I don't care, I don't care.
Thank you out there for listening. Thank you right here for coming out. We'll see you later.
Well, that's a great way to finish things up with Days of Wine and Roses, Steve Wynn, The Miracle 3. Thank you. Thanks, number one, for the album Tick, Tick, Tick. It's a really, really nice new record. And all the work with The Miracle 3 has just been great. So look for that. Great band. Steve, good to see you again.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to be here.